I'm joined by Mike Calvo of Ceratec Corporation, who make Freedom Box, which has been demonstrated on the main menu previously. Hi, Mike. Welcome to the program. For those who haven't heard of Freedom Box, let's just start by talking in general terms about what Freedom Box is and what the existing version 1 Freedom Box is for, who it's aimed at, and what it does. And then once we've done that, then we'll move on and we'll talk about what's new with Freedom Box.
Okay, well, thanks for having me on the program today, Dave. I really appreciate it. ACB Radio has certainly been instrumental in helping this product get out to the market. And on behalf of all of us at Ceratec Freedom Box, I really want to thank you and the wonderful staff at ACB Radio for helping us, and of course for working with us at the contest that we've hosted together and co-sponsored together. Freedom Box started as an accessible internet portal. What a portal is a conglomeration or a collection of different services that a person that doesn't want to go all over the internet looking for different things finds. For example, we offer email services. We offer the ability to listen to different audio things. We offer chat. We offer shopping. We offer quite a few different services that without our software, you would have to go on the internet, have quite a bit of instruction and quite a bit of knowledge of how to get around things just to use. A couple of years back, there was a problem with America Online and its accessibility. In our particular case, accessibility is first and foremost because accessibility is to the internet is our business. Technology today, Dave, is a lot like a pool. That's the example that we like to use at Freedom Box. A pool consists of a low end, then you've got the middle end of the pool where everybody kind of hangs out after they get into the water and figure out that it's not too cold. And then the deep end, of course, which is where everybody does all their neat tricks and their dives and their jumps and their cool swimming. Well, adaptive technology in the past, Dave, has been a lot like taking a small child and throwing them into the deep end of the pool and telling them, now you got to learn how to swim. Freedom Box allows a person who has never used a computer, never used the internet, never had any access to what email is and these different types of services, both in our jobs and in our day-to-day lives. Freedom Box allows these people to, with a minimal amount of training, have access to these types of services. Our first product, version 1.0, was released in February of 2002, and it was a great release. We have really come a long way since then. We're just releasing version 2.0 this week. It's been in beta testing for quite some time. Instead of being a very two-dimensional interface, it allows a person to interact with the software by keyboard input, by voice input, or mouse input, or touchscreen input. And then output options for how to get back information from the system are done via screen, text-to-speech, in some cases Braille, and of course there are certain recorded prompts that we play as well. So we really try and take the computer to a whole new level. It's our belief that the computer can see with a camera, it can hear with a microphone, it can speak with a synthesizer, and it can feel with a touchscreen. So it's kind of archaic to still communicate with this device with a mouse and a keyboard.
We'll come on to version 2 in a moment, but just again, for those who are new to Freedom Box, if somebody were to buy Freedom Box, the version 1 Freedom Box, what would they be getting?
Well, Freedom Box actually comes in a couple of different flavors. It comes as a package that you can install on your computer. And that package, Dave, is absolutely free. That's a new word in the adaptive technology market, free. But the software itself is free. It comes with a Dettok voice, which is a standard voice that we're used to. First and foremost, the package comes in a software package that you can install onto any Windows machine or Linux machine. The next version, of course, and this is a hardware solution, if you don't have a computer or if you don't want a mainstream computer and you just want a device that can be used for email and instant messaging and chatting and surfing the internet and things of that nature and shopping, you can buy one of our standalone units, and our standalone systems start at $999 and work their way up from there. We also have a very innovative solution, which I personally use quite a bit, and it's great for people who either are on the go or live in an independent living facility where perhaps they have three or four computers there, and they don't always have access to the same computer, or they don't feel like leaving personal information on a computer. We have something called the Key to Freedom. And what the Key to Freedom is, it's a small keychain size device that goes on a key ring, fits in your pocket, and when you plug it into a USB port, which is an access port on a computer, it allows that computer to actually turn into a freedom box for the duration of the insertion of that key. And when that key is removed from that computer forgets the freedom box was ever there. There's no remnants left on that computer, so the person can take all their private information on their key and take it with them and move from computer to computer. And that particular device is $199, and not only does it serve as a key to access our network, but it also serves as a piece of flash memory. So if you want to store audio or documents or pictures or what have you on this key, it goes up to 128 megabytes, and you can store them on that as well.
Okay, so if somebody's out there listening to this, and maybe they have a relative who wants to get into computing but doesn't have the wherewithal to get with the whole screen reader scene and using these various virtual modes in the web browser and getting to grips with an email client and so on and so forth, they could essentially buy the Key to Freedom, as you just mentioned, at $200, plug that into the family computer, and away they go.
That is correct. If you don't have an internet connection, we can sell you one here in the U.S. I do know you have several international users. We don't offer international internet access, and when we get to the point of talking about pricing plans, we'll go over everything. But we offer services as little as $9.95 a month U.S. Without internet service, and $21.95 a month with internet service, and that includes over 6,000 national dial-up numbers here in the United States and in Canada. So we do provide quite a good collection of services, and if you do go out and buy that reconditioned computer or what have you, instead of going out and paying $21.95 or $19.95 or whatever for another internet service provider and then coming over to us and getting the Freedom Box access, you can get it all under one roof from us.
That's great. Okay, well, let's move on to the various plans that are available, because you mentioned, of course, that the software for somebody who already has a computer, the software is free, but in order to access the service, then they really need to take up a plan with you guys. Is that right?
That is correct. One more thing about the hardware. As I said, our entry level unit is $9.95. Now, we do have a new unit that just came out. It's called the Freedom Box Surfboard, and what the Freedom Box Surfboard is it's a PC, and it's all contained in the keyboard. So it's actually just a keyboard, weighs about 7.5 pounds. It can be configured as a standard PC running Windows XP or XP Home or XP Pro or XP Home, any of that. And we can put anything up to a 2.8 or a 3.0 gigahertz processor in there, and 2 gigs of memory, and 200 gigabyte hard drive. So it can get pretty hefty, not only in price, but in horsepower as well. So our prices really tend to be competitive as you get up into the higher level machines. As far as the plans go, we offer two different plans. You can either pay as you go, or you can buy by the year. If you pay as you go, if you have your own internet service provider, be it broadband or be it another dial-up provider or what have you, it's $9.95 a month U.S. If you want to buy that by the year, it's $99 a year. So you do save some money, and it stops us from having to hit your bank card every month. And you do have to have a MasterCard, Visa, or Discover card to use the service. You can, of course, prepay the service per year with a check, but we prefer doing things by credit card. It just makes the accounting people a lot happier, and of course, it provides you with uninterrupted service. Then the next package is of course our online package, which provides your internet dial-up and everything, and your access to our network, and that price is $21.95 a month U.S., and that includes access to over 6,000 national dial-up numbers. And, of course, if you want to buy that by the year, you're talking about $219. So you also get almost a $50 savings there by prepaying for the year as well.
Let's talk about that plan. What are people essentially getting by subscribing to Freedom Box? What can they What can they do anything with the software without a subscription? And then once they take out a subscription, what does that enable them to do?
Dave, understand, our first and foremost goal at Serotech is to get blind people online, by all means necessary. And that means that we need to have various packages that fit people's budgets. And of course, various packages that fit people's needs. As we go on, we'll talk about the differences in our different packages in 1.2 and, of course, our new 2.0 and how it accesses different levels of user, because we do have something for everyone, whether it be intermediate, beginner, intermediate, or advanced. The answer to your question about the $9.95 is this. For $9.95, you get access to our entire network. You get access to our Seesaw protocol, which is our community-supported accessible web, which I'll be going into later. You get access to third-party emails, so you can check third-party emails with your Freedom Box. You get access to remote access to your home machine using your Key to Freedom, which will enable you to stream audio from your local machine at home to wherever you are, upload and download files, transfer files between your home machine and your key remotely, and several other advanced features. If for whatever reason you do not decide to join the network, you can simply register the software for $25. And what that does is it allows you to use the Deck Talk and the voice recognition. If you don't want to do that, we don't force you to do that. We actually support SAPI, which is the SAPI 4 is included in Windows XP and can be downloaded for Windows 98 and Millennium. What SAPI allows you to do is use the embedded Microsoft voices. So literally you have a browser that won't work as great as the paid one, because there are certain components to the browser, such as Seesaw, which I'll explain in a second, but that will work very well and be an accessible browser, and it will be free. So at least if you're starting to learn, it doesn't cost you $1,000 to get started to learn.
You've mentioned Seesaw a couple of times. I thought Seesaw was a character in a Babisoft Western adventure game. What's Seesaw?
Seesaw stands for Community Supported Accessible Web. Those listeners that have not dealt with what I'm about to speak of should never have to, actually. How many times have you been using your screen reader and gotten to a page that the links just don't make any sense? As you're moving around the links with your tab key or your arrow key, you get extraneous garbage. Well, for many years, we've been dependent on web designers to create pages for us or for their websites that take into consideration those of us using a screen reader, because as some of us may or may not know, what you hear with your screen reader is not necessarily what the sighted person sees on screen. They may see a picture that says home or products or contact us or what have you, while the link itself in the part that the screen reader accesses of that link may say products.on or home.nav or what have you. What needs to be done is the web designer needs to understand that people with a screen reader may access this, and they need to adjust what's called the alt tag to reflect what the graphic says. With our Seesaw protocol, what we do is we allow a person to actually get onto a link and label it. What it does is it takes the link and it opens it up in a new window, and all you see in that window is just the link. A sighted person can then go and label that link. So a sighted person, if he's labeling that for a blind person, he just type in the label, click OK, and go about his business. A blind person, on the other hand, can use their arrow keys to navigate around the screen, and we give you a couple of clues. We give you the graphics label or the graphics URL that the link points to, that is the actual graphical link that the sighted person sees. And sometimes you can glean the title of the link. And as a matter of fact, a lot of screen readers use that information to try and extract the name of the link. The next thing we do, of course, is we show you the URL or the location that the link points to. If it's acbradio.org/schedules, well, then it's pretty safe to understand that link will probably go to schedules. So you just type in the word schedules, click OK, and every time you go over that link, it'll say schedules. If not, we have a button there there that allows you to open that link in a totally separate window so you can look at the page and come up with some semblance of a description. You type that into the label field, click OK, and away you go. Now, that would be really, really cool if it stopped right there. But with Seesaw, it's called community-supported accessible web, right? Well, what that means is that, Dave, you over there in the UK can go to a site that you frequent, for example, Amazon or something that I might frequent here in the US. You may label that up or do the most that you can. And then what happens is when you're done, you submit those labels that you've made for the site to a central repository. So now anytime a FreedomBox community member appears at CNN or Amazon.com or what have you, their browser goes to our Seesaw repository and says, hey, do you have a template for this page? And it says, sure. And it downloads it to your browser and it plays a little sound letting you know that it's been modified by Seesaw. And away you go. And now you have this perfectly designed, this page that just talks great because all the links, all the alt tags have been labeled correctly. Not only that, but when you use our links feature to speak the name of a link, it also works well because, of course, our voice recognition software in the product is using the labels of the link to create its vocabulary. So it is a very, very cool feature, one that at this time is incorporated into our products, but in the future, as the Seesaw repository grows, we certainly hope to be able to provide that to other screen reader manufacturers as well, because as I said, our job, our goal here, sure, it's to make some money, but it's basically to empower the community to get online.
Okay, so we've heard a bit about what FreedomBox is and what FreedomBox does, version one at least, and I know you've been working with Matt Campbell and I guess others on FreedomBox 2. What's new with FreedomBox 2?
Well, first of all, a word about Matt Campbell. Interestingly enough, Matt Campbell is our main developer. I mean, what you see on the network has been developed by Matt Campbell. Matt and I work together. Matt Campbell and I are like the dynamic duo. We develop. I develop the interface, or Matt and I discuss the interface at great length after what I found by studying people out in the field and just my experience as a trainer and whatnot. And then Matt goes into the basement and he just develops it and makes the magic really happen. Matt is such an involved and important part of this technology and the software that we really would be nowhere without that young man. And it's just, I really wanted to say publicly what an asset Matt has been to us and how really irreplaceable he is. We just value him so much and we really, really appreciate him. I appreciate him both as an employee, as a friend, as a partner, and of course as a member of this community who has dedicated his life to giving people access and empowering people to the internet. Now on to what we do. FreedomBox 2.0, remember we were talking about the pool earlier. Well, we really focused in 1.0 on getting that person that had never laid hands on a computer. And as you've heard on frequent interviews and reviews on version 1.0 of FreedomBox worked with a control key. You can send and receive email. You could go ahead and listen to audio, over 3,000 radio stations, 200 different radio reading services, and several other audio features that we have on FreedomBox. You could go shopping on Amazon. You could do many, many things with learning nothing more than just how to press your control key and speak into your microphone. Well, that was great, and that was really important for the time, and we've acquired some great users. However, being a company that's dedicated to providing the whole pool and not just a part of the pool, we wanted to go a step further because we found that a lot of people, intermediate to advanced users, were saying, man, FreedomBox is great, but it's not for me. And even myself, I was guilty of saying to a lot of folks, hey, I love FreedomBox. I think it's a great idea, but I don't use FreedomBox in my day-to-day. That was then. Now with version 2.0, with the features that we've incorporated into 2.0, I can honestly tell you that I use FreedomBox about 90 to 95% of my day in my day-to-day tasks. And some of those new features include ability to access instant messaging through MSN Messenger and through AOL Instant Messenger. We have our own clients for these two protocols, our own email, our own ability to check third-party email, our own forums, our own chats, all of and of course the ability to go ahead and go to mainstream websites that are outside of the Freedom Box network. We have users, Dave, that come on and they simply want their information, they want their sports information, or they want their news, and they come on and they go to the news center and they get their sports, they get their information, or they go shopping and they buy this one thing at Amazon or whatever and they go away. Then we have now with 2.0, we get the people who go in there and say, you know, I want to look up the 15 different perspectives on the war, or I want to look up the different views of the presidential elections here in the United States, or I want to look at what political things are going on in my area of the world. We have users from all over the world now that are using version 2.0. 2.0 is revolutionary in that it is based on the Mozilla platform of browsers. What that means to us is a great deal of flexibility in the platforms. This year you're going to see, our Freedom Box is already available for Windows and Linux. Later on this year you'll see Freedom Box available for Macintosh, and that is important because access to these three platforms, consistent access, has never been available before from any adaptive technology company. We are the first product of its kind that will work on all platforms and appear and act and work exactly the same across all platforms. The whole goal is that if you're sitting in a Freedom Box, you shouldn't be able to tell what the operating system, the underlying operating system is. You should simply be able to use it. And if you're using one of our keys to freedom, you should be able to plug into any computer and immediately have your set of options, your preferences, your speed of voice, your pitch of voice, your size of font, your look and feel, or your feel and feel, your sound and feel, wherever you are, and have that built right wherever you are into whatever computer you're using. And that is really what 2.0 uses. That's what makes 2.0 so darn exciting to me, is the fact that I can configure it how I want it, anywhere I want it, and I can do it in a public computer, I can do it in a private computer, I can do it in a friend's computer, and it doesn't matter where I am. As long as I have an internet connection, I have my Freedom Box, and that means more freedom for me.
So, I mean, what are we talking about in terms of 2.0? I mean, are we talking about a complete rewrite, or is this something that's going to be instantly familiar when people load 2.0? What's the design philosophy behind 2.0, other than that it's going to give people access to more advanced functionality outside of the Freedom Box network?
First of all, I need to take off my hat to the other adaptive technology vendors. And I am certainly not here to say that we are a replacement for these technologies. We are simply a step in the progression of a user from being an internet or a computer ignoramus to a computer genius. Or even a standard computer user, wherever they want to go. We have integrated some very common user interface design structures into our product. Similar things. For example, when you're sitting on a web page, you can do T for tables. You can do H for headers to jump around. You can do B to jump to the form buttons. You can do F to jump to the form fields. One of the things we don't have is an MSAA mode or a forms mode. When you're in an edit box to fill in a form, you're in an edit box, man. I mean, you're supposed to type there. And when you want to get out of the edit box, you tab. Why the form field was introduced, I don't know. I do know one thing, though, and that is that we have rewritten our product. We have not imported any kind of old 1.2 code into 2.0 at all. This is an entirely new rewrite. It's leaner. It's meaner. It runs on multiple platforms. And it runs on not only multiple platforms, but it also runs on multiple processors. So you never know. You may see Freedom Box popping up on PDAs or cell phones in the future. It certainly is capable of doing so. So there's many, many things that are coming down the pike. But as far as from a design structure, for an intermediate to advanced user who has used JAWS for Windows or Window Eyes or Home Page Reader, you'd be able to just jump right into this thing and immediately be able to use it, to get around. And, of course, if there's any problem or if there's any differences in something we do that the other guys don't do or whatnot, you can simply do an Alt H and go to help, and there's a very comprehensive built-in help system right into and an online very comprehensive online help system right in the product.
I asked you earlier about the transition from 1.0 and 2.0, and you're saying that it would be very easy for somebody to just jump right in with 2.0, even though that extra functionality is available. Let's talk features, Mike. What are the new big features in version 2?
The big features, well, like I said before, we've got access to third-party email support. So if you have POP3 accounts from other email providers, you can have them in your Freedom Box account. Your Freedom Box account will check them either at your prompting when you log onto the network, or it can check them every 5 minutes or so and have them there ready whenever you log in. That's important, because if you've got a third-party email account, you may or may not be able to check that from the road somewhere, because there's no adaptive technology built into whatever computers you run into. With a key to freedom, you simply plug that in to whatever computer you pop up into, and there's your email. Likewise, we have access to instant messaging on the new product, and you can, of course, plug in again and access that. The ability to access your home machine, your remote access to your home PC running your Freedom Box at home, we have access to that as well. Go ahead and download and upload files. We even have a feature that will allow you to download a file remotely. So, for example, let's say I'm surfing the internet and I'm at the library and I find a program or document that I just want to have, but I don't want it to necessarily go to my key right now because I don't have enough room on the key, or I've really got to run and I don't have enough time to sit around and wait for this thing to download. I could simply direct my home machine to go ahead and go to that place and download it simply with a key press. So that is another awesome feature. Of course, the Seesaw access is great. And most of all, I think the biggest feature that FreedomBox 2.0 offers is, hey, it's free. And that is a really, really important feature, I think. We told our users way, way, way early on in the show that there would never, not in today's show, but early on in the game, that there would never be a charge from FreedomBox for an upgrade. And we've been able to maintain that policy ever since. There is no such thing as a service agreement with us, you know, where you have an SMA account or that kind of thing. There's no such thing as an upgrade fee of any kind. Version 1.2 users have already been upgraded to 2.0. As a matter of fact, right now, what we're doing between May and July of this year, we're adding the features of version 1.2 into 2.0. As I stated earlier, 2.0 is a complete rewrite. And before we totally phased out 1.2, we wanted to get our new 2.0 features strong, firm, robust, and then we wanted to start rewriting the features of 1.2 to integrate them into 2.0. Eventually, 1.2 is going to disappear. But at this point, 1.2 users have the option of using classic interface, which is 1.2, or our new version 2.0 interface. And as a matter of fact, if you download a trial from us from the website at www.freedombox.info, you can download 2.0 by itself, or you can download 1.2 and it will install 2.0 on its own and give you an options menu that will allow you to pick between the two.
You mentioned that there actually are slightly different interfaces. There's a classic interface and the new 2.0 interface. What are the difference, and why should people move to the 2.0 interface rather than sticking with the interface that they're familiar?
Well, really, it's not a matter of having to. When we first started using the computer, you know, tabbing around the screen and using the arrow keys to get around to stuff was kind of cool, and that worked. Once we found out what headers were in a page, we wanted to know how we could jump around from header to header in a page. And once we found out what lists were, we wanted to jump around from lists and buttons and all that stuff. So it's really a matter of choice. If you want access to more advanced features, you have it. But if you don't want to and you're really comfortable with your 1.2 interface, hey, don't upgrade. You don't have to use the upgrade just because it's got better features. You want the upgrade just because it's the latest and it's what you're used to, but it's going to be more robust than 1.2. Obviously, 1.2 was written back in 2000. It was written on the Java platform. There's some instabilities with Java under Windows in our arena. So, you know, this is written in entirely different programming languages. It's a much more stable product. So there are many reasons why to switch over to 2.0, but we certainly aren't going to sacrifice any functionality for a 1.2 user. If he never wants to use the third-party emails or the instant messaging or whatever, he's just going to be able to use his good old 1.2 interface and his classic interface, and he'll be good to go for as long as he wants to be.
Is there anything you want to say about 2.0 that we haven't covered?
I think, Dave, that you know, as we embark on the national conference season for ACB and for NFB and for different blindness organizations. Over there you have Sight Village in Birmingham in the UK. As we embark on that conference season, the one thing that I do want to say to folks is, if you've seen Freedom Box in the past, if you know people who have told you about Freedom Box or written it off and said, hey, it's great, but it's only for beginners, I'm an advanced user, I have my JAWS or Window Eyes, I don't need Freedom Box. Folks, that's not true. I use JAWS every day of my life. I wouldn't be able to live my life without JAWS. However, once I got this tool in my arsenal, I can't live my life without it either. It is a very important part of my day to be able to use my Freedom Box to do what I do and give me the true flexibility to be able to work and to be able to play and to enjoy my internet experience wherever I go. Please take a look at the product for many reasons, not the least of which is we need people's patronage. There's many, many, many folks in this community that have not become a member of the Freedom Box community. We really believe that we should be, and in many areas we are, the de facto standard for access in this community as far as being a place of community information, a provider of information, a place that people can get together. And if we need to get a message across to a product or service provider, there needs to be a method of doing that, folks, and it does need to be an online place where we can all be unified as one voice and individually have a voice as well. The only place we're going to be able to do that is the internet. And really, with Freedom Box, it's a place that both newbies, people that have never used the internet before, and intermediate to advanced users can all use the same interfaces, use the same internet, and speak on the same issues. We should not have the division in our community be, can you use a computer or not? God knows, a lot of folks who don't use computers feel the same way as a lot of us that do use computers feel about many, many issues, and I'm not going to go into those issues now, but we all feel the same way. The problem is that they get frustrated because they don't have a way of getting online. And of course, we have a way now of getting them online, and we have a way of making people who helping those people that are already online have a better online experience.
You're listening to Main Menu from ACB Radio. We're in conversation with Mike Calvo from Ceratec, the makers of Freedom Box. So, Mike, tell us the release details for Freedom Box 2. When can people get it? And people new to the network, do they get a chance to try it out? The service, that is, rather than the software. You already mentioned that the software is free to download. Can people try out the service?
For sure. We do have a trial available. They can try definitely before they buy. We give you an unlimited 30-day trial, and you can try every feature that we have to offer on the network, and of course experience our wonderful technical support and so on and so forth, and really, really come in and try and be a part of the family. We can be found at www.freedombox.info, and that's www.freedombox.info, and you can simply just click on the download link or there's a couple of links on the front page you can go to. You can either go to the public beta or you can just click on the free trial link and fill out a form and download any of the versions of our software that you would like, or you can call us in the US and in Canada at 866-202-0520. That's 866-202-0520. And if we're closed when you call, we're open Monday through Friday, 10 a.m. to 10 p.m. However, if we're not available at the time, please do leave a message and someone will certainly contact you back. We'll certainly love to have you as a part of the Freedom Box Network.
Mike Calvo of Ceratec Corporation, thanks for your time.
Thank you, Dave, and keep up the great work on Main Menu.